The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Jenna Ellis Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
As a constitutional law attorney, former senior legal advisor and personal counsel to President Donald J. Trump, Jenna Ellis believes in the rule of law and the importance of integrity in our elections. And she's ready to tackle the big cultural and legal issues facing America. This is the Jenna Ellis Show. Here is your host, Jenna Ellis.
Happy Monday, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Jenna Ellis Show. I'm Jenna Ellis, and 1 week ago today, the Mar-a-Lago raid, this outrageous raid that was unprecedented going into former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago, his residence, his estate there. And, you know, a lot of questions are emerging that we still don't know a week after this raid. We do have the warrant. We don't have the underlying affidavit that would give a lot more information as to what the FBI and the DOJ actually presented to the judge to assert their burden of proof for probable cause in order to obtain that warrant based on the requirements of the Fourth Amendment. And so what we have seen is just the warrant itself and also the inventory list. And the inventory list is very basic. It just names a few different boxes. Some interesting questions about that as well. Why is Roger Stone's pardon on that list? Why are there photographs? A lot of this seems to be personal effects or personal documents of President Trump, nothing to do with allegedly classified information. And of course, the classification is in dispute because President Trump says that everything was according to a standing order to be declassified. Yet the media and the Democrats are all saying, well, no, this was, of course, it was classified and there had to have been a legal basis. So a lot of questions still remain unanswered. But the biggest thing here as well is that we saw on the warrant, on its face, that it was so overbroad that in my view, it actually contravenes and violates the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which requires that not only will warrants only issue upon probable cause, but they have to be precisely specific and precisely allege what documents and what spaces will be searched and what documents would be seized. And this particular warrant said that the judge allowed any documents whatsoever from January 20th, 2017 to January 20th, 2021, literally any document within President Trump's entire presidency. That is so overbroad. And that it could have been anywhere in Mar-a-Lago except for the rooms that were held by other private club members, but any place whatsoever related that Trump would have had access to himself. So including Melania's closet, as I said on Newsmax this week, you know, what were they looking for? Classified shoes? I mean, this is so ridiculous. The Babylon Bee had the best take ever that Merrick Garland stood up in a gorgeous new evening gown and sun hat and said, of course, the raid on Melania's closet was justified. Hilarious. But this is these are actually substantial legal questions. Why would this judge sign off on a warrant that is so overbroad? Why don't we have the affidavit? And interestingly and very disturbingly, the warrant also suggests that there may have been violations of the Espionage Act. This is a 1917 law that was passed in the context of World War I that was trying to prevent any double agents or spies from taking documents or photos of documents with the intent of using those documents against the interests of the United States or in the interests of a foreign agent or country. I mean, anyone who is suggesting that President Trump would have ever had such an intent is so insanely crazy and bizarre. This just is so ridiculous that this would even be on a legal document and a warrant, and that a magistrate judge wouldn't second guess this and say, wait a second, a former president of the United States actually may have had intent to use allegedly classified documents against the interests of the United States, and that he could even determine that from just a warrant. What is in the affidavit? We need to know that. But this is just so absurd. And I can't imagine that any magistrate judge or any Article III judge would ever look at a warrant against, let's say, former President Obama and say, oh, sure, I'm going to find probable cause based on allegations that he violated the Espionage Act. I mean, this is ridiculous. If anyone is in violation potentially of the Espionage Act, it would be somebody like Eric Swalwell. It would be somebody like Adam Schiff. It would be somebody like Nancy Pelosi. It would be somebody like the Biden crime family that have ties to foreign entities that have on record acted against the interests of the United States. But here, we don't have any legal basis whatsoever that President Trump could have possibly formed that intent. There are so many different questions here. And so it's a week later, we still don't have the affidavit. We don't even know if there is one that exists. And if there doesn't, that raises a whole different set of questions. So we're going to continue to follow this story, bring you the best legal analysis here on the Jenna Ellis Show. And so in just a few moments, my good friend Tom Fitton from Judicial Watch is going to join, because Judicial Watch has been filing these Freedom of Information Act requests to get to the search warrant, to get to the affidavit, to get to the inventory. They've been doing a great job as a watchdog in DC just to get to the truth of this. And so right after this message, my good friend Tom Fitton will join. Inflation is making life harder for all of us. Many Americans are living paycheck to paycheck while seniors are struggling to survive on fixed incomes. It can feel hopeless, but don't panic. Take action and join AMAC. My friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, can and will save you money. 2.3 million freedom-loving Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. Membership comes with amazing benefits like discount on travel, restaurants, and cell phone service, plus anyone can join. AMAC does much more than offer senior discounts. AMAC Action takes the challenges against our Constitution and a free market straight to Capitol Hill every day. Joining is easy. Just go to amac.us/Ellis, E-L-L-I-S. I've told you before that AMAC fights for America. Become a member today and save money while supporting conservative causes. Go to amac.us/Ellis now. It's only $16 per year. So join or renew today at amac.us/ELLIS. And joining me now is the president of Judicial Watch himself, Tom Fitton. Tom, always great to have you. And first, you know, what's your overall perspective now a week after this raid?
Well, it was outrageous, reckless abuse of power. That was my initial response. And of course, as the details of the corrupt DOJ's raid on Biden come out, you just get further and further confirmation. You know, look, I saw early on, back in February, when this first became public, this dispute, that the DOJ and the archives were making up new rules for Donald Trump. And the new rules were that it doesn't matter that you were president. Any documents you have are our documents. The prior position of the archives, the prior position of the Justice Department has been, well, if the president has them after he leaves office, they're presumptively personal. So they changed their rules, and you know why, because you've seen it up close. It's because they want to target Trump and come up with any reason they can to target him. And one of the reasons I was so really outraged about their new position was because the prior position was used to stop Judicial Watch from getting access to Bill Clinton's records. He had tapes of interviews he had had with an author that recorded him talking to foreign leaders, which is presumptively classified, right, with government officials such as members of Congress. And he didn't turn those tapes over to the archives. He kept those tapes in a sock drawer, in his sock drawer. So we saw that and we said, well, why isn't this covered by the Presidential Records Act? So we sued the archives, and the archives came back to us and said, you're all wet. They said that the Justice Department attorney representing the archives in the case said, well, if Clinton has them, we just presume they're personal records. And indeed, Judge Beryl Howell, as you know, is one of the most liberal members of the district court here in the D.C. and in the District of Columbia. She ruled that Judicial Watch, again, should go jump in the lake, that you can't get behind the decision of a president to denote certain records as personal versus presidential records. And obviously that applies similarly to any classified records in that group of documents. So the Justice Department's position until Trump has been, he can take whatever records he wants. He's able to designate records as personal or presidential. He has ultimate, obviously, classification authority to both classify and declassify information. And the presumption is if they're in his custody after the White House, we leave them alone. And they changed all those rules, and they engaged in an abusive raid in the sense that there was no legal basis for the raid based on their own legal analysis prior to just targeting Trump. So my view is this is as corrupt as the FISA warrants, and every document they took should be returned.
Yeah, and President Trump has asked for return of those documents. And, you know, as you're speaking, Tom, obviously we don't have the affidavit at this point in time, and that needs to be released. It's very interesting that we only have the warrant, which alludes to the Espionage Act, which is the most ridiculous contemplation and position. I mean, this is an act back in 1917 that was passed in the context of World War I to keep spies from taking photos and having other materials that with the intent of using that against the United States interests or for the benefit of a foreign national agent or country. And to even suggest that President Trump might have acted at any point in time during his presidency or after against the interests of the United States, I think is offensive. It's disgusting. And it's completely without any shred of legal basis.
Yeah, as I said, they know the records aren't classified. So they know the information is in government records. So all the applications of the laws they're pretending apply really don't apply. I mean, the Espionage Act, even if read in the elastic way in which it's been applied to people who weren't engaged in espionage, just the mishandling classified or defense-related information, it doesn't apply to President Trump because these were his personal records under Justice Department policy, the Presidential Records Act, which has no enforcement mechanism against the president, and the U.S. Constitution. You know, the courts of the president's power to declassify and take records that are personal to him or designate them as personal to him arise out of his constitutional powers. This is not a question that can be second-guessed by DOJ anti-Trumpers in the Justice Department, the FBI, and the archives. You know, the archives believe everything that happens in the White House is, you know, needs to be retained and recorded. But, you know, I understand bureaucratically why that's their position. That's, you know, their job is to get records, right? But it's not what the law is. And as we've highlighted, and I'm sure you've pointed out, it isn't how they applied the law to Hillary Clinton. Now, Hillary Clinton, unlike right. President Trump, couldn't take records and declassify them without going through a process and alerting folks to them. She certainly couldn't maintain classified records on unsecure networks. Her colleagues couldn't send her classified information on unsecure networks. She did all of that. This same archives refused to enforce the law against her similarly. This Justice Department and State Department, we sued them, Jenna. We couldn't even get them to send her a letter under the Federal Records Act, which, you know, kind of triggers an investigative process. And of course, the lack of criminal prosecution, the lack of any raids and such obviously speak for themselves as well. So, everything they want to do against Trump, they should have done against Hillary, but didn't. And I include also the Schiff request for a damage assessment of spillage, right? Classified information, if it's out there in an irregular way, the agencies are allowed and should, in many ways, figure out if there was any damage, right? Well, they're pretending that's the issue with Trump, and they want to do a damage assessment. We sued to try to get a damage assessment done by Hillary, and they refused to. So this isn't a... this unequal application of the law is outrageous, but it shows the political nature of the raid. And I would interpret this just as, you know, essentially the Democratic Party raiding their likely opponent for 2024. It doesn't get any more complex than that. And, you know, we can talk about the legal back and forth and why it was a shady raid in terms of prior law and Justice Department policy and what they did to Hillary. But we all know. I mean, the record is they hate Trump, and the law is to be used to get him, not to be applied consistently and fairly.
Right. They're looking at the person and they're targeting the person and then going in search of a crime. And that's what they've continued to do for the last 6 years with Donald Trump, is that they have the person that they want to get, and they're trying in any way possible to manipulate the law, the Constitution, anything to just try to make him guilty of, you know, Russia collusion or, you know, the first impeachment, this phone call with Ukraine, or the second impeachment, or now this. I mean, it's ridiculous at this point. And you're so right. And I've consistently said throughout this, the whole prior week, this is all about political persecution, not probable cause. And we can see that there's also one really huge difference between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Sorry, Hillary, she was never the president. And so when it comes to classified documents, there is a whole different position that these two are situated in. It's not similar in a lot of ways. But going back to the archives really quickly, I mean, I think people generally understand, okay, the DOJ, the FBI, they're partisan, you know, deep state hacks in a lot of ways. They're Democrat operatives at this point, the bureaucracy, all of that. But a lot of people are questioning, why would the National Archives have an interest in this? Why would they even release a statement that was discussing Barack Obama's 30 million documents against Trump? I mean, does the deep state and the bureaucracy really reach that far that it's even infected the National Archives, that should just kind of be passive in this instance?
Yes, you'll see reports today. The Washington Post interviewed the retired head of the archives who's responsible for pushing this narrative against Trump. It's clear he hates Trump. He hates his supporters. He liked Hillary in the sense that he was going soft on Hillary as we discussed earlier, with other records that were truly classified and should never have been in her possession, and records about what she lied about specifically in terms of what she was destroying. She was destroying classified information while telling the government and the world, oh no, it was just about yoga's, you know, her yoga classes and her daughter's wedding. So, you know, this is the crisis. This is the despotism. And I, you know, people say this is like a banana republic. Well, you know, actually, in some ways, it's a little bit worse than a banana republic, because in a banana republic, they don't pretend anything other than to be doing what they're doing, which is targeting their political enemies. You know, there's no pretense. Here you have this pretense of the rule of law, when in fact, it's just politicized raids and prosecutions that we see in countries where the rule of law has been replaced by a strongman government. And, you know, as I said, the Biden administration is hurtling towards despotism with this. And, you know, I just hope the courts see through this. I'm skeptical that it will happen. I mean, the magistrate signed off on an extraordinarily broad warrant. It's like the FISA warrants. What, you know, where are these judges there if not to say, hold on a second, we're now talking about raiding a former president's home. You're asking me to not only ask to get permission to get, quote, government records, which we all know was a lie, but also records in the same box as the government records that aren't government records. So this warrant actually had no limitations. So it was this fishing expedition of a warrant. And you know, Garland confessed that it was a fishing expedition. He said, you know, in the ordinary course, our standard procedure is to do something short of a raid, right? He said that, and to do a search that's narrow in scope. Well, the mirror of that is it was an extraordinary raid, and we did a search that was a fishing expedition. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping there's a court that steps in and says, whoa, but given what happened with the FISA warrants, I'm not that confident. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? Well, Trump obviously can take some legal action of his own to get the records back. But is Congress going to take steps, finally, to rein in and control and hold accountable the Justice Department and the FBI. Take away these powers. Take away these prerogatives. Because right now they can't be trusted to prosecute a jaywalking crime, let alone target someone like President Trump.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to you, his listeners. The Percale bed sheet set is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they are all on sale. So, for example, the queen size is regularly priced at $89.98, but is now only $39.98 with our listener promo code Jenna, J-E-N-N-A. So order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale bed sheets are breathable and have a cool and crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee, so don't miss out on this incredible offer. There's a limited supply, so be sure to order now. You can call 1-800-564-8475 and use the promo code Jenna, or go to mypillow.com/Jenna. You can click on the radio listeners square and use the promo code Jenna. That's J-E-N-N-A. Thank you so much to all of Mike Lindell's listeners and listeners of this podcast for making sure to support MyPillow and using our exclusive listener promo code Jenna. That's J-E-N-N-A. So what can Congress actually do? I mean, I think a lot of people are very concerned that Kevin McCarthy will just continue to send strongly worded letters if he gets into the speaker's position. People are now even concerned whether or not Republicans will take back the House. But assuming that they do in November, you know, we have just a couple of months. And I think everyone is frustrated with the Republican Party for just kind of sitting back and, you know, maybe screaming about it on television, you know, but that, like, the Lindsey Grahams of the world. I mean, you know, he'll sit there and be so bothered by everything. But then at the end of the day, he'll vote with the Democrats. And so what can and what, in your opinion, should Congress or any Republican with the authority and opportunity to actually effectively make change and stop this insane targeting of President Trump and other Americans? I mean, look at the J6 prisoners, a lot of different things.
Well, you know, some folks have talked about eliminating the FBI. I'd be happy to discuss that. But in the least, we have to look at the powers that the FBI and the Justice Department are able to exercise in terms of targeting American citizens using federal law. And are there ways that those powers can be significantly constrained? I think the easiest thing to do is just talk about cutting budgets. You know, if you're going to abuse your authority, well, let's give you less power to exercise. You know, to me, you know, and that is usually denoted by the size of the budget. So if the FBI has a $10 billion budget, they should be talking about giving the FBI a $5 billion budget. So maybe they can focus on, like, terrorists trying to murder Salman Rushdie rather than harassing Donald Trump with this massive law enforcement investigation over a bureaucrat's version of what a presidential record is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that just goes hand in hand with what the Democrats are trying to do in terms of budgets, which is now giving the IRS the 87,000 new agents that will be, according to their call for you know, for new job placements or whatever, to be armed. And they now have a budget that's larger than the Pentagon. I mean, this is just showing what the Democrats' priorities are and why the day one with a Republican Congress, they need to defund all of those positions. So, I mean, this just is so frustrating, I think, to a lot of people who are watching this. And they're also saying, you know, what about the judicial branch? Why isn't there any accountability? I mean, this guy down in Florida is a magistrate judge. And let's be clear on what that is. He was not appointed through Article 3. He wasn't appointed by a Democrat president or a Republican president. So both of those narratives are false. Magistrates in federal courts are simply hired by the district to help with the caseload. But clearly, you know, just 6 weeks prior to signing off on this overbroad warrant that had, that was from literally every day of Trump's presidency, from January 20th, 2017 to January 20th, 2021. I mean, that's how broad in scope it is. This same magistrate judge had disqualified himself on the basis of bias in the Trump versus Clinton lawsuit. And now he just signs off on this warrant as if, oh, this is just administrative. There's no bias involved.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful if the court disclosed why it is he recused himself from this other case, which, you know, maybe there was another reason he recused himself that had nothing to do with either Clinton or Trump. But again, people's confidence in the fair administration of justice is at issue here. We've got, you know, the judicial issue. It's a tough slog to get the judges to start to second guess the Justice Department. And so if I were prioritizing the crisis, I'd say the first thing is we've got to get the FBI and the Justice Department to stop lying to judges, because the judges have to rely on, because they get hundreds of warrants, that the agents are coming in and being forthright and aren't gaming them. And and there's got to be accountability for the gamesmanship that's taking place with the targeting of Trump. And one of the things that the courts can do in the second order here, as we're talking about it, is to second guess them on matters of on politically sensitive investigations. What is it we're doing here? Why hasn't there ever been a president targeted ever before over presidential records? Is this the first time there's been a dispute? Did the FBI disclose that the Justice Department's legal position previously have been that records in the possession of a former president are presumably personal? I doubt that's happened, right? And, that's something that the president can start raising with the court. Now, Judicial Watch has asked for the warrant. We got it. We filed something immediately. Obviously, we also want the underlying justifying affidavit, as it's been described. We don't know if there was one. Maybe there isn't one. Who knows, right? But either way, the court required the Justice Department to respond to our request, and which is followed on with requests from the New York Times and other big media following our lead by 5 p.m. today. So we may get more information today. I suspect some of it's going to be under seal still or redacted in large measure. But this is another opportunity for the Justice Department that wants to reassure Americans that everything was done according to the rule of law to actually prove that point. And if there's more secrecy, obviously designed to protect the agency as opposed to advocating for the rule of law and transparency, then we'll draw, you know, the conclusions will be readily apparent to be drawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And really, you know, the analysis here and everyone making a lot of speculation and suggestions as to, I mean, we do have the warrant now, but we don't have that underlying affidavit of what was disclosed, what were the arguments. That really needs to come out. And if there wasn't one, that also raises a lot more questions of why didn't this judge inquire further and why did he basically then rubber stamp this warrant that has significant allegations, like we alluded to, the Espionage Act and, you know, some other things. But where, Tom, do you think this goes? I mean, what's the goal for Judicial Watch? And then also, where do you see this going with the Democrats being successful in their, you know, latest attempt to just get Trump? I mean, people are suggesting, oh, he's going to be indicted tomorrow. And then other people are saying this will never amount to anything. So where, you know, the truth is probably somewhere within that spectrum. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, I think what's going to happen is what's happened previously with anti-Trump investigations that are baseless. Keep them going as long as possible before they peter out. And I think that's likely to be the case here. Although the raid suggests a sort of radicalism and revolutionary approach to blowing up the Constitution and our presidency that wasn't there. So, you know, Trump is not, typically I'd say he's unlikely to get indicted. I don't think that chance is so insignificant now. The Wall Street Journal reported today it's going to take months, many months perhaps, to go through all these records, right?
Of course.
So that's typical DOJ. You know, just let us work the case and we'll get back to you, Your Honor. And so they'll have this case go through the election of this 2022 and go into the beginnings of the 2024 elections and use that again as another sword of Damocles over the head of President Trump.
Yeah. And this will, of course, be their attempt to cloud his announcement if and when he does announce that he's running in 2024. This is, of course, an attempt to get him disqualified from running in 2024, like everything else. And I don't think it'll be successful in preventing either of those those things from happening. But if you're also advising Trump and you are talking to him, what do you suggest in terms of what his lawyer should be doing right now and whether or not he should announce before the midterms? Because my personal opinion is he still needs to wait. There's a lot of races that are very important going in the midterms, but you know, it's Trump. You never know.
Well, as you know, Jenna, I'm not a lawyer. I dare say I'm an expert layman on the law in some respects. And in terms of political advice, you know, I run a C3. I'm not advising candidates on when or how to run. You know, but as an anti-corruption watchdog group, Judicial Watch recognizes that this raid was election interference, as you're suggesting. And, you know, so if someone's trying to stop you from running through corrupt means, you know, my view is you do the best you can to keep on doing what you're planning to do. And obviously they're going to try to use this as a cudgel against him if he decides, you know, as I think he probably will, which is to run for office again. You know, and if I were him, I would be asking the court for all my records back, all of them. And I take the position that the Justice Department has taken, that these are personal records. And they had no business lying to you by telling you that they were classified. In the least, they should have said there's a dispute about it, right? So when the media says these records are classified, that's not technically correct. And in the least, the media should say there's a dispute about them, these allegedly classified records. Because the president has said they're declassified. And according to the law, his view is the prevailing view. We'll see if the rule of law is upheld, though, which is what my concern is. And Americans should be worried about that.
Yeah. And that's a great point that, you know, the media reports are, of course, always biased. And to say allegedly classified is a really important differentiation to the conclusions that they're wanting everyone to draw. So in just the last 2 minutes I have with you, Tom Fitton, I really appreciate your time here too. So where, again, you said that, you know, we may get more information by 5 p.m. today, but what is the status of where Judicial Watch is at with this and what's your plan moving forward?
Well, obviously we're trying to get the underlying affidavits, assuming they exist, and there will be more litigation over that, I suspect. Thankfully, we'll have the big media behind us on that, right? Secondly, though, we have independent Freedom of Information Act requests pending with the various federal agencies and some local agencies as well. For instance, we asked the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Department, give us any documents you have about, you know, the raid where you communicated with before it happened. They said we have no records. So that's interesting. Sometimes a no is interesting as well. And so we've got this massive independent investigation of what went on. And again, in our experience, it's that type of investigation that exposes the corruption and sometimes curtails it and stops it from continuing or metastasizing. So we're very eager to continue to pursue the truth about this reckless, dangerous, unprecedented, baseless, abusive raid on President Trump, which I think had as much basis in reality and law as the spying on him. And I think it's all part of the same operation.
Yeah. Well, really appreciate the work that you do, that Judicial Watch does, to be a watchdog. And we need more people who are just focused on getting to the truth, not just a partisan political interest like everybody else in Washington that is serving the Democrats. So I so appreciate what you do. And thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you? Donate to Judicial Watch. You are a C3 as a nonprofit. And so it really matters. Everyone should follow Tom Fitton on Twitter, follow Judicial Watch, and also support you as well.
Yeah, go to judicialwatch.org and make a donation, and certainly get the information that we have and share it widely, which is the most important thing we do. We're educating the American people about what their government's up to.
Yeah, and you've done a lot of great work for election integrity, so many other great issues, not just on this raid, but really appreciate, of course, your work here and so many other things. So Tom Fitton, thanks so much for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jen.
Legacy Precious Metals is the company that I trust to give you good and patient counsel for investing in your retirement. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, not only do your expenses go up, but the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And we are already seeing record inflation. That's the last thing that we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you may be vulnerable. So gold is one of the very best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your own gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com, where you can download the free investor's guide. You can also go to my Facebook page, Jenna Ellis. I am a public figure on Facebook. So go to Legacy Precious Metals at legacypminvestments.com or call 866-528-1903.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.